Good evening. I greet you this evening in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a privilege to be here among brothers and sisters in a different part of the country from what I'm used to being in. But we are glad to be here tonight. Let's see if my projector is coming. There it's coming. We've been enjoying the hospitality of Brother Dave and Susanna and their accommodations there. It's been a real blessing to be able to enjoy the facility that they have for travelers coming through, such as ourselves. I would like to share with you this evening about Eagle Wings and what the Lord is doing there and how the Lord is using our ministry. And we feel that the Lord is using our ministry. Before I forget, it is good to see you, Joel. It's been a while. It's hard to believe it's been a year already. But I look forward to visiting with you after the service. And we've been making a lot of friends here as well, meeting a lot of people, and that's been a privilege. But I'd like to share with you a little bit this evening, before we get into that, from the Word of God. Psalm 127, and you're welcome to turn with me if you like. If not, I'll just read it. It's just a few verses. I'm going to read the first two verses from Psalm 127. And it reads this way: Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. At first glance, it could appear that these verses are a bit depressing, perhaps a bit sad, but I want to look at them from the context of our efforts and the energies that we pour into something, and recognizing that unless God is involved, unless the Holy Spirit is giving guidance and direction, what I'm reading here is that our work is in vain. What I'm reading here, that if the Lord isn't building the house, then we're just building monuments. We're simply just dealing with structures. But we as believers want something bigger and better than that. We want to see God's kingdom established and advanced. And that's the house that we're talking about building. And unless God is involved in the work that we are doing, or in the work that he has called us to, unless we're following his voice and building using the materials he has presented, or building using the energies that he gives us, then our work is in vain. The rest of the chapter actually goes on and talks about families and about children being an heritage of the Lord and about the godly man having a quiver full of children. And I think that's applicable. But I'd like to turn that a little bit. If you want to shift your minds to the spiritual sense with me, as we look at how God builds his house, it's important, or it is a special blessing, I should say, when God blesses a house with children, when he fills up his house, when he builds his house through generations that are coming after. But in the spiritual sense, I would like to ask us, and I would like to ask for you to ask yourselves as we go from this place, even in the days and weeks ahead, how are we building God's kingdom through the spiritual families around us? Now, what I mean by that is we are called to be the bride of Christ. Now, in Jewish culture and even in our day, it's been noted to be it's a special blessing when the Lord blesses the womb of the home and there is growth, there is children added in abundance. That's a special blessing. But we as the bride of Christ, you and I, our brothers and sisters together, we are the bride of Christ. Are we being fruitful in God's kingdom? Is our quiver full? Is our heritage great based on those that we are reaching out? I've heard about prison ministry, and I'm not sure all you are involved in the congregation. I think that's great, and I commend you for that. But let me encourage you. Let's be looking to fill our quiver, our spiritual quiver, with those that we reach out to help on a daily basis. It could be that guy that you stand next to at work, or you work with on the crew. It could be someone in your own family. It could be someone that you just come in contact with at the gas station, the grocery store. Are we reaching out? Are we building God's house? Are we relying on God's strength and God's power working through us to work his will and to increase his house? And really, that's what Eagle Wings is all about. We're not there to build a monument to a counseling center, or a monument unto ourselves, or just to have a nice facility or a nice property. Ultimately, our goal is to build the house of the Lord, is to see the kingdom of God flourish and grow and expand. And that's our desire. And that's what I want to share with you this evening, is how God is working through our ministry and the challenges that we're facing right now, and to present to you in an encouraging way the work that the Lord is doing through Eagle Wings Discipleship Ministries. My presentation is through PowerPoint. And so I'll be walking through a number of slides here, just talking along with those as we go. Let me ask, how many of you, I know a number of you have been on our campus. How many of you have been on our campus already? Quite a few of you. So you're familiar with this. Well, a number of you, yes. All right. Well, this will be a little bit elementary for you. Then I'm going to just present a little bit what our ministry is, where we're at. We are a counseling discipleship ministry, and we are in Southern Ontario. Right on the shore of Lake Huron, here is an aerial shot of our campus there. Another one coming up. We'll give you a little more detail. Eagle Wings is located right northwest of Toronto, about 3 hours. Right about the tip of that arrow, the red arrow you see there, is right about where our campus is located. From Hutchinson, Kansas tonight, if MapQuest is correct, it's about 18 hours, about 1,200 miles from where we are this evening. Here is a view of the building that we call the Nest. This is what our brother David alluded to tonight in referring to the beginnings, the earlier beginnings of this property on our campus. This is basically the hub of our campus at this point. Eagle Wings was started in 1999, and through the vision of a number of local men who felt the need for a discipleship and counseling center in Southern Ontario. There were already a number of places going, like Fresh Start and Deeper Life and some other ministries like that. And we felt that there was a need, or they felt that there was a need for something in Ontario to reach out to the Canadian people. And so they began looking for property, found this place that was a farm initially. It had been turned into a resort. The building you're looking at that I called the Nest had, on the upper level, 8 motel rooms. The lower level was a restaurant and bar, and it was part of the snowmobile trail. So oftentimes there was a lot of activity in the wintertime. Snowmobilers coming in off the trail, they'd grab a drink, head up to the room, spend the night, head out in the morning, or even just the locals coming out and enjoying some of the local cuisine. And so we felt that, as our brother mentioned, it was quite fitting that the Lord would take what had been used for the enemy's purposes and turn it into a place that is retreat and rest. Another aerial shot of our property. If you follow the red line around, that is our property line. We are surrounded on 3 sides by a river, the Saugeen River. And if you were to come back into our property, you would follow about a 2-mile-long dirt road. It is a dead end, ends at our property, so it is very secluded, very private. We're very blessed with the setting that we have. We have about 118 acres. Much of that is farm ground and bush. It's a very private setting. River access, it makes it very convenient for canoeing, for fishing, swimming, different water activities that we can enjoy throughout the year. Trails have been put in place by the previous owner, which have been a real blessing to us. It makes a great opportunity for residents and staff even to get out and enjoy nature and walking the trails around the property. Number of campsites make up our property as well. Youth groups enjoy coming up and using those campsites throughout the summer. We also use them for retreats throughout the year, and makes for great opportunity to reach out to others in that way. Also, recreation areas make up the rest of our property, with room for soccer, softball, volleyball, things like that. And I'll share more about that later. Our campus, as far as buildings go, consists of what we call the Counselor's House, or Residence 1. This house was moved in from down country. It was loaded up on a truck and pulled up to where it sits now. The Lord has blessed us with that property. The basement of this building has been renovated into a ladies' dormitory, 6-bed dormitory. And recently we actually converted that temporarily, for the time being, into a resident couple's apartment. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later as well. Shop building had previously been had 2 bays for building mini barns and sheds and gazebos. There's 1 bay for vehicle maintenance. We have a vehicle lift. We can do a lot of our own vehicle maintenance. Makes it very, very efficient. And also a tractor shop. This is the main farmhouse, which has been converted into the administrator's house, but also the main office. In the basement of this building as well is a classroom, is a conference room, and the classroom doubles up as a number of different functions there, an office, classroom space, et cetera, whatever it's needed for. And this is the other side of the Nest. You'd seen the opposite side of this building in a previous slide. This has, in the upper floor, those 8 motel rooms have been converted into a house parents apartment, maintenance couple apartment. It's kind of all in one right there. And guys' dormitory, 6-bed dormitory for the guys, as well as 2 guest rooms. The silo there has been converted into a bit of a solitude, a peace and quiet area. There's a spiral staircase that runs through 3 different floors in the silo, and up at the top you can grab a view and take your Bible and go spend some very quiet very peaceful time with the Lord up there, if you like, or just to get away. Sometimes our residents like to study up there. And so that's been made into a mini retreat high above everything else on campus there. Our staff team currently consists of myself and my wife, Sherry, which she is with me in the back this evening. Our three children, Zoran, Aria, and Jackson, have been traveling with me. It's been a privilege to have them with us on this trip. Originally, we are from Belleville. We've been with Eagle Wings about a year and a half, and in the current position for about 10 months now. I would like to say right here that if you are interested in being stretched, then I guarantee you going into ministry will do that for you. That's one thing we have found in the year and a half that we've been serving with Eagle Wings, is that it's a very challenging opportunity, but very rewarding as well. Our secretary hails from Ontario. She does an excellent job in the office. If you will call up, you often get her on the phone, and she can very capably handle your phone call or your email, however you contact us. Our counselor at this point counsels our single guys and our couples, Luke and Dorothy Ann Weber, also from Ontario. They have four children and have been with us on our staff team just about 3.5 years now. Our ladies counselor, currently on a leave of absence, is taking some time to seek the Lord's direction in her life. Charlotte comes from eastern Ontario, almost over to the Quebec province line. And if you think of her, keep her in your prayers as well. She's continuing to look for the Lord's direction. This lady you know quite well. She has been doing an incredible job on our staff team. Crystal has been a tremendous asset to Eagle Wings. The Lord has been helping her in many different ways and helping her grow. And she just continues to be an inspiration to us as she follows the Lord's leading in her life. We were really hoping that she could be with us on this tour, and right at the last minute, it just did not work out. We were disappointed about that, and I think she was as well, especially since she knew that we were going to be running through your area. But we are really grateful to have her a part of the staff team as a supervisor. Our other resident supervisor, Helen Newfield, from Leamington, Ontario, which is southern Ontario as well, close to Detroit. Campus cook, Edna, comes from Belize, Spanish Lookout area. She's been with us about 3.5 years and looking to return home at the end of June. So we will be looking for someone to fill her spot. She's been doing a tremendous job in the kitchen, often adding her own Belizean flair to the food that she makes for the campus. It's always quite a variety that she can come up with. That makes up our staff team, our board members. We are governed by a team of 6 members from Ontario. And these fellows do an incredible job, spending a lot of time, a lot of hours investing in the ministry of Eagle Wings. They represent both the Midwest and the Markham denominations. Eagle Wings is not particularly owned by either group. We are considered a non-denominational group, although we are governed by a board that is made up from these two groups. And that said, then, we actually reach out to a broad range of Anabaptist peoples, both for our staff team and for our resident clientele. We also have representation on the U.S. side with a team of 4 board members. Some of these fellows you may know, Ray Stutzman, Dan Miller, Ryan Hirschberger, Larry Troyer. We get together at least once a year and discuss business for Eagle Wings. There are U.S. representation side, largely for legal purposes. And we have had them set up just to provide a U.S. presence, simply because we do have a lot of staff and even donations that come from the United States side. And then that's handled legally through this board. So what is Eagle Wings about? What is our purpose and our mission? In a nutshell, we are here to come alongside hurting people who are willing to change by addressing the deep needs in their personal lives. And I really stress the willingness here of an individual, because unless a person is willing to look at their life or willing to address what they're dealing with in their life, there's nothing that our program or our staff can do. We're not a miracle program in the sense that we have a come and we'll fix you, or come and we've got a solution for you approach. That's not how God's Word works. That's not how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit works as we give Him ourselves. Not long ago, I saw a quote that I'm going to paraphrase. I don't remember it exactly, but something along the line of God will mend our heart, but first we have to give Him the pieces. And that's really the standpoint that we come from. And for our residents or even our staff that come through, is that the Holy Spirit can only work with what we give Him to work with. It's as we yield ourselves to Him and to His guiding and to His leading, His leadership, that we are able to come away whole people and healed people. And so we really stress the willingness of an individual to look at the deep needs in their life. We do believe that through biblical and Christ-centered teaching, there's not one person that's exempt from being able to find spiritual and complete emotional healing. And of course, our purpose, our intention is that The people, the residents who come through our program would become responsible members in their families and their churches and their communities. We want to give them the tools, help establish them spiritually, that when they come back home, that when they come back to their family or their community, or come back into their home area or their job or whatever it might be, working within their relationships, they have the tools that they need to be building God's kingdom, building up the house of the Lord through that way. Our program is a 12-week program. It's about 3 months long. It is established that we have four programs running throughout the year. And so a resident coming in would come in January, if you're coming in the first part of the year, and be with us until about the end of March, and then so on through the calendar from there. So we have a 12-week program. There are four different branches of our program that we highlight. First of all, Bible study. And I'll talk about this a little bit later throughout the day, when I go through the day of Eagle Wings. But it's very important. We see it's very important that a resident and even the staff are immersed in God's Word, finding out what the Lord says about the different aspects and issues in their lives. Work projects. It's also important that we have an outlet, a physical outlet for working off some of that extra energy, or for clearing the mind, or for simply getting out and doing something that's more physical and away from the mental, the stressful aspects of emotional work. Discipleship classes. These classes right now, based on largely on the fact that we don't have the resources or the client or the staff available to teach one-on-one, these are largely DVD classes or audio. And these are the practical side of our program. The discipleship classes, we seek to put tools in the hands of the residents that will be things that they can use later in a practical sense. Anything from money management to interpersonal relationships to spiritual aspects in their walk with the Lord. And so this covers a broad range of teaching and discipleship, and is very foundational for the believer to take home and to be able to use these practically in their home place. Then, of course, personal counseling. We do counsel one-on-one with each resident. They've got a counseling session each day, between 4 and 5 sessions per week. And that's one-on-one with the counselor and the resident only, where they can get together with the counselor and work with the Lord, share their problems, share what the counselor can work with them with what their issues are, what they're there for, what they would like to accomplish with their time at Eagle Wings. And so personal counseling is very much a part of the core part of our program. So if you're to come into our program, the first step is to take an interview. It's not as scary as it sounds. We simply ask that those who are interested in becoming residents or want to come through our program, that you would come fill out some paperwork, and we would evaluate what you would like to accomplish in your life, what your purpose is, what your goals are, and we make a judgment call based on where you're at, where we are as a ministry, as whether or not you're a good fit for our program, and whether or not that it would be valuable for your time and for ours to have you as a resident. For graduation, there are some pretty high standards to achieve. They must demonstrate an ability to apply biblical principles in solving personal problems. A little bit of the discipleship classes coming through here. And also, we require that our residents give very strong evidences of personal and spiritual growth before we would allow them to graduate from our program. Now, not graduating doesn't mean that an individual has failed the program. It simply means that perhaps the growth or some of the tools have not been grasped that we would like to see before we put our stamp of graduation upon someone having completed the program. It's not uncommon for someone who says, you know, I've come through this program, I've learned a lot, I've gained a lot, I could really use some additional time. And they'll come back and come through the program for a second time. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly acceptable and appropriate. If the Lord is leading you that way, then our program is certainly open for that. So how is it then that we help people? I'll preface this by saying I'm not a counselor. I've had some training. I've talked with a number of one of our brothers here this morning, and been through some personal training, but I do not counsel. But these are some of the areas that we work with people at Eagle Wings, with personal problems, emotional pain, and their spiritual needs. These are three aspects that are pretty much the foundation of what we do in working with a client. So where does a person come from? What happens in a person's life where these problems or these issues surface? There are two types of trauma that we discover or have discovered in working with our clients that largely contribute to where a person is. Now, I don't want to scare you, but there's probably not a person in this room that is exempt completely from one of or both of these types of trauma. This isn't to say there's something wrong with you. This is simply to recognize that we live in a fallen world. This simply highlights the fact that we are surrounded by sin, the enemy is at work, and that the grace of God is needed in our lives. But two types of trauma that we deal with. First of all, bad things that happen to us that should not. Bad things that do happen to us that should not. Those are pretty straightforward. This is not an exhaustive list, but very basically, emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, and spiritual abuse are all examples of bad things that happen to us or can happen to us throughout our lives, whether it be at a young age or throughout life, that should not, that would not be a part of God's design in a perfect world for it to be a part of our lives. Second type of trauma, you can switch your mind a little bit to the other side, are good things that don't happen to us that should. This is the absence of something good. Okay, so type of example, and once again, this list is not exhaustive, but it's simply a representation. One of those things would be love. Now, we all know that God is love. God is a God of love. That God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And love in its true and pure and proper form is appropriate and is God-given. But sometimes there is an absence of love. Or sometimes love, going back to the bad things that shouldn't happen, sometimes it's presented in a wrong way. And so this can become a form of trauma that will affect a person with how they respond or how they live out their life. Lack of encouragement, not being recognized, not being understood, not being challenged, lack of protection. This could cover a whole different range of things, but also a lack of provision, whether spiritual, emotional, or physical. And those three, the spiritual, emotional, physical, could also come under the protection aspect. Some things that we should have in our lives that sometimes we don't, that just aren't there. Good things that should happen that don't. Not having the proper protection in one of those areas can produce a type of trauma in our lives that will affect how we respond in life. And so these are some of the areas that we work with a person, with an individual. And like I said, not to scare you, to some degree, each one of us has to deal with these as we come to the Lord in our own brokenness and recognizing our own sinfulness and bring these things to the cross and surrender them to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to heal us and make us whole people. And that's really what Eagle Wings is about. It's about connecting people to Jesus. It's not about a program. It's not about a fix-it scheme. It's about connecting people with Jesus through recognizing some of these traumas, recognizing some of these pains and emotional happenings in a person's life, and recognizing that there is healing, that there is a place that a person can come and find hope and find rest and be made completely whole and in the Lord Jesus Christ as he would have them to be. A day in the life of Eagle Wings. Now, this is simply going to rush you through the day here very, very quickly. We start our day in the morning, obviously, like I think most of you probably do here, unless you're working night shift, perhaps. 6:30 is rising time. At 6:40 is a quiet time where the dorm gets together. The picture you see in the background here is the ladies' dormitory, and here they're getting together. It looks like for a quiet time in the morning, simply about 20 minutes to read their Bible, read a devotional book, spend some time in prayer, and getting ready for 7 o'clock breakfast. At 7:45, the staff team gets together for a staff meeting and simply discuss the events of the day, things that are coming up, things that need to be accomplished throughout the day, getting everyone on the same track. During this time period, the residents are spending time in personal studying or doing some personal homework, whatever it might be for the day that they might have to do. After staff meeting and after the study time, we have a morning walk where the staff team gets together with the residents, and we all go for a walk together right out the lane. And it's a very very informal time. It's a great time to get together and just chat, find out about each other, learn about what happened the day before, or make friendships, build friendships. As you can see from the umbrellas, it's very infrequent that we cancel the morning walk due to weather. Most times it happens, rain or sleet or snow or hail or storm. This past week, I think they did cancel the one morning, or they curtailed it, I'm sorry. They made a 15-minute walk instead of a half-hour walk because it was very cold the one morning. And so but the morning walk is a great time to get out, get some exercise, especially for those of us that are in the office most of the day. Morning Bible study then at 9 o'clock. From 9 to 10, we get together and look at a particular book that the study teacher has chosen to study. This past term, I think, was The Upward Call by John Koblenz. And then also the group will choose a passage of scripture that they'll memorize together throughout the term. Counseling sessions happen then in the morning from 10 until noon, and then again from 1 until 3. And a client will have one of those two sessions. Usually it's varied. They won't have both in the same day, but they'll have one per day. Meal times are very important on campus, of course. 12 o'clock is lunch. 6 o'clock is supper. Here's a view of the dining room. House parents are in the foreground, a fellow in the maroon shirt and a lady in the gray dress. Aaron and Marietta Yoder from Indiana have been our house parents up until this past November. They moved home and left a spot in the nest that's empty, but they would facilitate the meal times, both lunch and supper, during the week. And then the single staff and the residents would join with them at meal times. Work projects throughout the day, in the afternoon or in the morning, if there's no counseling sessions going for that resident, those staff members. There's a variety of things to do here. We've got our own chickens for eggs. The ladies in the upper right-hand corner are working with some garden produce by the look of it, and kitchen work, and one of the fellows working on some chores in the bottom left-hand corner with the tractor there. Discipleship classes, I mentioned those earlier, are from 3 until 6 in the afternoon, 5:30, 6, depending on the class. And once again, a lot of these are DVD or audio classes. Here the residents are taking notes. Evening activities then as well, time to get out and relieve some stress or get rid of some energy perhaps, a variety of activities available, especially in the summer. In the wintertime, we open up our shop for volleyball, a variety of games. Jewel has introduced us to a game or two there, which we've still been using. Thank you, Jewel. Ring on a string, or whatever it was, ball on the string. I forget how that went, but used that a couple times now. Sharing time then in the evening. After the evening activities, there's a sharing time right before dorm time where the dormitories get together again. The single ladies get together in their dorm, the guys in their dorm. And here they're singing a song, the ladies' dorm. But oftentimes the focus of this time is to simply get open, get real with each other. If there's something that you learned that day, there's encouragement. We ask you to share that if you're willing to. It's a time that there's hard feelings or misunderstandings. We ask that if you're able to bring that out, we want to make sure that things are clear between our staff members, between our residents, and between the residents and the staff as well. We want to have clear communication, interaction. And oftentimes, a sharing time can become a very meaningful time. As individuals get real with each other and walls come down, and we just start becoming the body of Christ to each other. And so that can be a very valuable time as we learn to share with each other and reach out and care for one another where we are. Then 9:30 is dorm time, simply meaning to be in the dorm, getting ready for bed. Then 10 o'clock is lights out. There are a number of special events that happen throughout the year on our campus. The June seminar, which unfortunately this past year and this current year have been put off, but we still do have the June seminar on our books for on our property for a variety of topics. It's a weekend for anyone from the public, anyone who's interested, wants to come and take in the topics that are discussed. We bring in a tent and set it up for special speakers and for an audience. One that has been gaining popularity has been the singles retreat. This happens the third weekend in July. We just had our fourth annual singles retreat this past July, and we're looking again at this coming year at the next singles retreat, starting some of that planning. It's a great time for single young people. We especially target those 20 and older who are looking for a place to get together as singles and figure out or to learn or to be challenged how to be used in God's kingdom, how God would have them to live. This past year, our theme was smart living for the kingdom. It included topics like smart boundaries, smart finances, smart soldiers, and how that looks in the practical sense. How can we as single people, or how can those who are singles, be living in such a way that is building God's kingdom? It's being an asset and being a part of the kingdom. It's unfortunate, but a lot of times our singles, I think, are overlooked a bit. And really, they have a lot of resources. They have a lot of time. They've got a lot available to them that we as married folks do not have. And so we simply want to challenge them through the singles retreat to be available and to use the talents and the time that God has given them to be proactive for God's kingdom. The top slide on our top photo on this slide is a group of single guys that from the singles retreat having a breakout session discussing one of the topics that was presented. And the bottom picture there is the group, the entire group together on the flats for making some doughboys around the campfire. The singles retreat is a campout weekend. If you notice from the buildings on our campus, we don't have a lot of lodging space available. And so the singles retreat is a campout weekend. We ask the singles to bring their tent or a camper or whatever they might want to bring and use one of the campsites. We've got the Cold Feet Corral and the Soggy Bottom Bio. And you can choose one of those sites. Usually the guys are in one and the girls in the other. I'm not sure which one is which at this point. But it's a great weekend, Friday afternoon through Sunday afternoon, to get together and enjoy a camp out retreat. Another event that we host is a neighborhood supper. A lot of the neighbors around us remember when our property was a farm and also when it was more of a resort, the motel and the restaurant. And a lot of them are curious about what's happening. And so we've discovered that they really appreciate being able to come onto our grounds and enjoy an evening supper that we cook up for them and just interacting, socializing a bit. We see it as a chance to reach out to our neighbors and present the gospel to them through our lives, just living out what we do. The former owner still loves to come around and see what's been happening with the place. He put a lot of time and energy into it, and he has a lot of history that he likes to share with us about the property. But once again, here's a man that needs the Lord, and as far as I know, has not made a commitment. But one of the ways that we can reach out to our neighbors and build some rapport into the community. Board and staff retreat happens in August. Once again, it's just a time for the board and staff to get together, discuss what's happening with the ministry, or just have a relaxing time, getting together, getting to know one another. Here's some socializing going on, playing games, meals around the fire pit, reviewing some material as a staff team. November seminar typically happens annually, an hour and a half south of us, in the area we call Down Country, in the Kitchener-Waterloo area. It's a one-day, one-afternoon and evening seminar, actually, that we host. And this, pardon the poor picture there, but this particular year we had Jeremy Chupp from Freedom Hills came and spoke for us on some counseling issues. And there's a group shot from that event held in the gymnasium. Other events that we host throughout the year, Family Day Skating. We rent the rink Down Country and invite those and others in the area to come in and skate with us, play ice hockey or volleyball games. Public relations services, much like this evening, just simply sharing about what the Lord is doing through our ministry on our property. Annual business meeting, which is coming up the end of February. It's open to the public. So if you find yourself in Southern Ontario or want to find an excuse to come our way in February, you're welcome to attend the business meeting and see a little more of the business side of Eagle Wings. On-site church services. Oftentimes there are groups that want to come in and bless us with hosting a service on our property in the shop building. And so we'll clean out the shop, we'll set up some chairs, and they'll bring a meal. And it's a great time to get to know local churches in the area, those that have an invested interest right close by to us and want to come and share in a Sunday school or service with us. Oftentimes as well, it's a chance for those who are sending a resident or sending a member of their body through our program. It's a chance for them to come and show their support, spend some time with that church member, and to simply get to know more about Eagle Wings and build some relationships in the community. Trail trips. This is a relatively new addition to our program. TRAIL stands for Teaching Responsibility, Accountability, and Integrity in Life. These trips are designed or intended to simply take an individual from their comfort of life, strip them of all the excess of what distracts us, whether it be time, whether it be the essentials that we think we are essential, that we really don't need, and take this group out onto the Bruce Trail. It's about a two hours drive from where we are. We'll drop the group off in the wilderness. They'll hike this trail. They'll follow a map. They have no time. They simply have a starting point and a destination and scheduled food drops. They're carrying the food that they will need to survive. They're carrying the clothes that they need to keep warm and their shelter in the form of tents on their backs. And this is a group of guys that I was privileged to be a part of back about a year and a half ago that we went and hiked. They had a very enjoyable time, but it's also a very stretching time. And I tell you, when you get real with somebody, you take away all the distractions of life, and you get out in the wilderness where it's about surviving, and you get pretty real pretty quick. And we came away very, very bonded, came away with very challenged, to challenge each other. I also take the opportunity through these trips to encourage each other to be real, and challenging each other with blind spots, challenging each other with areas where we see could be improved, encouraging the areas that we feel are exceptional, and we take turns being trail leader. There are not residents and staff on this trip, although that's who comprises the team, but we all take turns being a trail leader for the day, following the map, learning how to navigate, and then also discussing leadership qualities, leadership abilities, challenging each other through what we've seen, what we've observed. A couple of photos here from the group that went. This group of ladies went out back in April, almost a year ago, and we really debated whether we should send them or not. We had a late spring, and snow was gone. We thought, we'll take them. Well, it was gone in our area, but it was not gone up on the trail. And when they got up there and started hiking, they found a lot of spots where they were hiking through snowdrifts. And in some cases, the temperatures dropped quite a bit below freezing at night, even during the day. And they got really stretched. In fact, we had to pull them off the trail early just simply because it was getting to be too exhausting. But they did a tremendous job. They were real troopers. In some cases, they were hiking through almost knee-deep water, ice water, that the snow is melting and just simply running into the bay. But the trail went right through this pond of water. So they maybe scout around, try to find a way around it, take off the shoes, go barefoot through ice water, and there you go. And the bottom photo on the right-hand side here is actually a couple of the ladies holding up a tent, and they were trying to dry it out. That had somehow gotten wet. And you can see they're trying to keep warm there as well. But they really, really showed some perseverance with their effort. Of course, it was the exhilaration of reaching the top or reaching the end. And the trail that we take runs right along the shoreline of the Georgian Bay. If you're familiar with your geography at all, there's Lake Huron, and then up to the east is the Georgian Bay. Crystal clear water, beautiful blue water, and very rugged scenery. It's a very rugged trail, but it's also a very rewarding trail as far as enjoying God's creation and beauty of nature. And that's what these fellows and this lady are doing here, simply enjoying some of that. This photo was taken one morning after camping along the shore, and just a beautiful sunrise simply highlights some of the tranquility that you see out on these trails trips. It can be stretching and challenging, but it also really draw you closer to the Lord. And we found it's a real asset to our program. We welcome church and youth groups to be involved with us, partnering with us in a number of ways, practically speaking. A big one, especially this year, is splitting and cutting firewood. We've been burning through a lot of firewood this year. Here's a group of, it's actually the board members came up for a day. We got a picture of them splitting firewood for us one day. A youth group came up and worked at a pile for us. So this picture was a little while ago, but they're splitting and cutting as well. Storm cleanup, we have a lot of mature trees on what we call the river flats of our property. This property, this area of the property is very messy. If there's any kind of a storm comes through, often that drops branches, sometimes trees. And this particular youth group happened to be coming through right after a storm had just breezed through and left a tremendous mess. And they said, you know, is there anything we can do? We said, well, sure is. Drop on by. They had about 50 young people, and they made short work of the storm that had come through, or the mess that the storm had left behind, and it was a real blessing in getting that mess cleaned up. Spring cleanup is a big one. It's another picture from the flats. Being right close to the river, the lower part of our property actually floods every spring with the snow melt and leaves a lot of debris behind. So there's a lot of cleanup, a lot of maintenance that happens in the springtime, getting ready to mow the grass, maintain the property through that way. So, and of course, there's building maintenance and care that needs to be taken. These ladies here are spending some time. It looks like they're restaining the day off cabin and getting it ready for another season. Just a note about the days off cabin. I don't have a slide of that, but this is a one-room cabin with a loft that was built specifically for the staff, especially for the supervisors who are living with the residents in the dormitory setting 24/7. And so when a supervisor has their day off in the week or their day and a half off per week, they're free to use this cabin, get away, spend some time alone, out of the dormitory, kind of spend some time with the Lord, get reconnected spiritually or emotionally, just resting. So this cabin is off a little ways from the other buildings, out at the edge of the bush, and it's been a real blessing for us to be able to use this property or this building for those purposes. All right, the next part of my presentation is actually, I'm going to be sitting down, you're not going to be hearing me speak, it's simply going to be showing you a bit of daily life on our campus, just a variety of shots, and there's some background music that's running with this, so if you want to just sit back and enjoy some of this, then I encourage you to do that this time. We'll see if we can get this thing going here.
I made my way through.
So that gives you a little more different view, different aspect of life at Eagle Wings. So how can you be involved? How can an individual who's interested be a part of Eagle Wings as a program? Well, there's a number of ways. And the first one I would say is probably the most important. If the Lord brings you to our brings us to your mind, if you happen to think of us, perhaps the Holy Spirit put us there for a reason. And we ask that you simply remember us in your prayers. That's probably the biggest thing that we could have as far as the support from the body of believers, is that we would have that prayer support, the undergirding of God's people through prayer. E.M. Bounds has said that prayer is a Christian's vital breath. And there's no doubt in my mind that unless we have a connection with our Heavenly Father through prayer, then we will be heading in our spiritual walk in a direction we really don't want to go. And it's important that we maintain that. It's important that we maintain that as well as a ministry, that those who are supporting us, those who are thinking about us, as you think of Crystal perhaps, or the other staff team, or those who are giving some time to come into our through our program, say a prayer for them and ask the Lord to give strength and guidance and direction through that. Of course, you can also be a part of the giving end of things. So you can pray, you can give. We are in ministry that is 100% donation-based. In the past, up until about two and a half years ago, we were building mini barns. It was a part of our work program. Due to some internal conflict with our structure, with our program, we've had to discontinue that. The business end of it was almost too successful, and it was actually distracting us from the real ministry of helping hurting people. And so we felt that it was best to discontinue that, and we're looking at other options for a work program at this point for the guys. But by discontinuing that, then that has now put us in the bracket of 100% donation supported. And so that's a huge challenge, but yet the Lord has been blessing us. We are meeting our needs, paying our bills, and that's to God be the glory for that. There are a number of projects we're looking at for this year that are quite daunting to us, that are above and beyond the regular budget. The Nest has been needing siding for a number of years now. And so the board has been looking at this very seriously, got some proposals made, and using volunteer labor. And with the siding needs replaced and materials, we're looking at about $20,000 to $25,000 for that project. And it makes the Nest much tighter, much more efficient, especially with the cold winters. And along with that, then, a Nest heating unit project. The Nest in the upper floor level I'd mentioned was a motel. And so there was 8 different motel rooms there. Each room had its own heating unit. And currently, with the exception of one unit, all of those units are original. So we're looking at 1970s style units. A number of those have been causing us some problems, and we're having difficulty finding parts, or it's cost prohibitive to have them fixed. And so we really feel it's time to just get those replaced altogether. Seems to be the most efficient way to heat that building at this point, at least in the upper bedrooms, upper floor. The lower floor has a wood fireplace, and that does very well heating the lower portion of the Nest. But that project will cost about $6,000 for 6 units, and we're looking at replacing those as well sometime this year. Also, private loan repayment. Due to some unforeseen circumstances, we had to take out a loan from a local individual and to meet the needs there, and so that needs to be repaid sometime here in the near future. Third way you can be involved is to go. You can be involved by sending your person or referring someone to us, or referring us to someone you know would be interested in serving in ministry. We have a number of opportunities available. Currently, unfortunately, our program is not operating according to what you've just seen on the slides. I don't mean to be deceptive, but I want to make that clear that we do not have guys' residence at this point, and we do not have ladies' residence. And a lot of those reasons are because we're needing staff. Right now we need a ladies' counselor. The counselor had shown you she is on a leave of absence right now, and we had been looking for a second counselor, and now she's taking a leave, so we don't have any counselor. And so we're looking for two, but especially for one ladies' counselor to be able to assist the single ladies that are on our waiting list. Our current waiting list is about a year. And just since we've been on this trip this past week, I've had to tell my secretary to start calling our waiting list and say where we simply state where we are, refer them elsewhere if they're interested, but simply let them know they'll continue on our waiting list until we find a counselor. So that's a very serious need at this point that we've been really pleading with the Lord for direction in this area, because we do have young ladies who are very interested in coming through our program. Another big need right now is a maintenance couple, someone who will work in the maintenance side of the program, also serve as a host or as house parents. a variety of jobs there. And as I mentioned, Aaron and Marietta, who have been our host couple or our house parent couple, just moved home in November. And so that left their apartment empty in the nest. We have been stressing a couple, preferably, because our space right now is very limited. We have a one-bedroom apartment available for that couple. And so if you know of someone who's interested, we'd love to talk with you or to hear more about that, or you can share our need with them. And that is also as soon as possible. Men supervisors, we're looking for them, have been looking for men supervisors for over a year now. In fact, even longer than that. Our last single men came to the program in December over a year ago, and we had to discontinue or put that program on hold as well, just because we don't have the supervisors available to provide the oversight for our male residents on campus. And so that waiting list has been referred all to other counseling ministries that we believe are reputable, and there are a number that are still waiting that they want us to keep them on our list, provided that we get the needed staff. But that's kind of the issue with the men's side of the program. Now, the couples side of the program, we have just restarted this past week. That had been discontinued as well since last April. And that was due to entirely different issues. We had some housing issues there. We didn't have a place to put them. And that has been temporarily been relieved by removing or taking some of the space in the ladies' dormitory and making into a couple's apartment. And so we're kind of pushing the ball down the road a bit, just simply so that we can help some couples who are on our waiting list and have been really begging us to allow them to come through our program. And so while we're looking for ladies' counselor, we're actually tying up the ladies' dorm with the couples. But in the process of that, we have been working with zoning, been working with permits and some regulation stuff there in Ontario, trying to get permission to build several couples' apartments or cabins on our property that would be serviceable for couples to come and stay for the program. And so that's in the works as well. The three different branches of our program have been going through quite a number of changes in the past year, year and a half. And it's been challenging, but the Lord has been giving us direction, we feel. And so if you think of it, those are three areas you can pray for, that the Lord would grant us favor with the eyes of the chief building official in our area there. He's been very, very particular about a number of things. But we're working on getting those issues resolved where we can build so our couples have a place to stay. And along with that, looking for ladies' counselor so we can get our ladies' program in motion again, and then for the men's supervisors for the guys' program. We're also looking for a cook. I mentioned that Edna will be going home to Belize at the end of June, and so that's a need as well. In addition to that, we're always looking for ladies' supervisors. It seems like it's a never-ending need. There's always a lot to do around the campus, especially in the summertime with flower beds, with maintenance of property, with keeping the kitchen going, with preparing for retreats and cleaning and things that are just the general upkeep of a property the size that we have there. There's a lot of work to do. So I don't have the lady supervisors listed here, but it's certainly needs that we do have. Program openings. If you know of someone, or you perhaps or yourself are interested in coming through our program, we do have interview openings available as early as May and June. And sometimes those fill up quickly, sometimes not. But I referred to that earlier. Simply, we ask that you come up to our property, fill out some paperwork, and we will interview you and see what your intentions and direction are in life and why you would be looking at our program. Program openings, which requires an interview for the ladies at this point, provided we do find a ladies' counselor. This is a bit optimistic, perhaps, but our waiting list is out until next January. And so if you were to have an interview and be put on our waiting list, the next possible opening for you to come through the program would be a year from now. For couples, we're looking at October 2014, later this fall. And for men, of course, we're projecting 2014, once again, perhaps with great faith, but faith nonetheless that the Lord will provide the need for the staff in this part of our program. That, in a nutshell, is what is happening at Eagle Wings. That is what the Lord is doing through our property and our ministry. Once again, those that come through our program as clients, we keep everything very confidential. It's a very private place. We seek to create a very safe place for our residents to come and to spend time away from the distractions of life and home or work or job, whatever it might be, and to simply seek the Lord in their time there. And we provide, by God's grace, seek to provide a place that can happen for them. Thank you for allowing us to come and share. It has been our privilege this evening to be a part of you, and actually this morning to join with you in the worship service this morning and Sunday school hour. And once again, for the accommodations, it's been a real privilege to get to know Brother Yoder here and numbers of you in the congregation, we've been talking through Lord's blessings with each one of you as you continue to serve him here. And if I could leave you with a challenge, I would just simply challenge you, each one, that as you're serving God here in Hutchinson, Kansas, that you remember the purpose and the focus for which we are believers and for which we are working, and that is to build the kingdom of God. There is no other kingdom that will last. There is no other foundation that is laid that will carry on through eternity but that which our Lord Jesus Christ has laid. And as we're working to build the house of the Lord, as he gives us the energy and the direction and the strength, that is what will last for eternity. And so what you're doing for the God's kingdom, keep it up. Keep going. Keep encouraged. We're in this battle. We're in this building process with you. This is simply how God is working with his kingdom in a different part of the world, but working with building his kingdom nonetheless as we're working together, co-laborers for Christ. And that's what we simply seek to do together as we work together building the kingdom of God. Thank you. I'll turn the service back to our brother.